from Allah's School of Mines, and then Texas State University. Talked for some years at Louisiana Tech, and has been driving the last 2 years with the Department of Mechanical Engineering. He's going to be speaking on a different kind of appropriate technology project, and it has to do with access. I want to tell just a real short story before he gets into his talks. There is a large suspension bridge in Waco, Texas, where we live. That when it was built, 450 feet long, it was the longest suspension bridge in the United States. It was built in 1860. When I go and look at that, I wonder how they ever managed to build this bridge without cranes and power equipment and so forth. And I wondered, why would they have built a bridge that big in that part of the country with private money in 1860? The answer was, as I looked into it, there was a huge amount of cattle being raised in the southern part of the state, and there was not one bridge across the Brazos River along the whole length. Mm. So people were cut off from markets. And with private money costing $1.2 million, which in 1860 was a lot of money, they built this huge bridge to take cattle across the market, which was mostly in the northern part of the state and on up towards Kansas. And at 8 cents a cow, they recouped all of their investment in about 10 years. Continued to make money for a while, and then eventually sold the bridge back to the city or the county, I guess. And so it ended up being a great investment. But the projects that Dr. Jordan is going to be talking about today are a similar type in Africa, where sometimes you may be successfully growing surplus crops, but there's no way to get them to market. And so the things we take for granted in developed parts of the world, such as bridges, are actually, in some cases, extremely essential and often unavailable infrastructure in developing parts of the world.
Okay, my title, part of our project is Building Bridges for a Better Future, which somehow is bridging the gap. Again, welcome to my name is Bill Jordan. I'm the Kenyon and Gary Chairman at Baylor University. My main co-author is Harmon Parker from Bridging the Gap Incorporated, and he's in Nairobi right now, leading this group. We have 4 students who did almost all the work, and they did it with not getting any academic credit. They did it because they were interested in the project. So we owe a great deal to those 4 students. I'm going to give you a little bit of background on who Bridging the Gap is, a little bit about who Baylor is, our first experience together 2 years ago in building a bridge, and then our current project. Bridging the Gap is a Christian mission organization that works in sub-Saharan Africa, and their goal is to build bridges that will help people by providing pedestrian crossings over rivers, gullies, ravines. And the idea is that by doing this, they improve their quality of life because you're getting access to something that you didn't have access to before. And some of the things that allow people to do is allow children to go to school. You can allow a bit closer and better access to health care, certainly reducing travel time to market centers, preventing accidental death from drowning, for example, and eliminating crocodile and hippo attacks. You know? That's not common here in Scotland, but hippos kill more people in Africa than any other animal. That's a big issue for them. Here's an example of a recent bridge over the Sand River. They build suspension bridges, and most of their bridges so far, maybe all of them, you see that the pathway across the river follows the slope of the cables. And however, design doesn't do that for some reasons we'll talk about in a few minutes. To have a bridge built by Bridging the Gap, people in the community have to do some work on their own. They have to initiate the process and ask for the bridge, and they have a number of criteria, and some of these are the same issues we just mentioned in terms of improving the quality of life. You know, is there a local school? Is there a medical clinic nearby? Is there a market center nearby? Other concerns, children have been attacked by crocodiles. This last one shocked me. One of the recent ones they built, just finished this spring, have had the 289 people have died trying to cross the river since the 1960s, either by drowning or crocodiles or hippos getting in. So all of these are reasons why the community might want to build a bridge. So the community has to get involved. So they need to be willing to gather the gravel and stone. They need to raise a small portion of the cost of the bridge. Most of the communities are poor, and some of them are very poor. And so it's not, in percentage times, terms necessarily a big amount, but the idea is that they're contributing something that's real to them. And they also provide the local labor. The Mission Society is rich, and this is they do the actual building and construction. What Bridging the Gap does is they design the bridges. Most of the ones so far they build in Western Kenya, so they fabricate the parts in Kitale. I have a map, I'll show you where that is. They buy some of the other parts in Nairobi. The idea is everything is obtained within the country of Kenya. Typically, some of the Westerners who are involved with Bridging the Gap would make at least three different trips to the site. One is a survey trip, then a foundation work trip where the foundation is put in, and then the actual construction of the footbridge, which is happens at the end. Bridging the Gap wants to involve the local community. The idea is it's not just Westerners coming in saying, we think you need a bridge, we're going to build something big and fancy. But the local community has to realize they need something. And the idea is it's showing God's love through this bridge building process. That we as engineers, we Westerners have some skills that they don't have in those communities, but they recognize their own need and we assist them in fulfilling the goal. And that gives them ownership of it by being actively involved at all stages of the bridge building process. And once the footbridge is completed, there's a party. There's food and dancing and speeches. And Harmon Parker, the leader of Bridging the Gap, and everybody, the local community leader gives a speech, he gets to give a speech. So at his speech, at a Christian speech where he talks about his faith as a Christian and why this group is doing what it is they're doing. Let me tell you a little bit about Baylor. Baylor is the oldest university in Texas, which means we go back to 1845. Probably laughable by UK standards. But our engineering is relatively new at Baylor. We first got accredited in 1989, a generic program in engineering, and separate programs in mechanical and electrical engineering were accredited in 2001. And I joined the faculty at Baylor in 2005. So engineering relatively new at our university, and I'm relatively new at Baylor. At a Christian university, these sorts of humanitarian projects are very consistent. You see here the Baylor's mission talks about educating men and women for worldwide leadership and service by integrating academic excellence and Christian commitment. You know, the educational objective of the mechanical engineering program talks about an educational environment shaped by Christian ideals, enabling our graduates to become leaders in churches, communities, professional societies, and so on. So as a Christian university, we see this as a very natural outgrowth of what we're trying to accomplish. A little bit about where they've gone and where we're working in Kenya. Kenya is located in East Africa, has an area about twice the size of the UK, and a population a little over half the size of the UK. In May 2005, Baylor students and faculty assisted Bridging the Gap in installing a bridge. This was in a village called Maltuma, which is about 65 kilometers from Kitale. This is a heavily populated area. Most of the communities in that area are based in agriculture and a very subsistent lifestyle of farmers. And here you see the box around the area in the western part of the country. And that's in the general area where they built most of their bridges. The one we're working on in a very different part of the country, however. This bridge was over, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, the Zoya River, which starts in Mount Eglon and goes into Lake Victoria, and was 135 feet long. And here we see several photos I'll show you during the construction process itself. You see the cables hanging. I don't know if you see very well, the suspension cables here, then there's a series of cables hanging across the supports, and then the wooden pathway had just slid out, and they just keep sliding more of these out over the river. They just keep sliding more of these out over the river. And here you see, in this case, the base support of the cables, and they're doing continuous work. This was all done, I believe, in a day. The actual final instrument.
Not the concrete work.
Not yet, not that part. And they had an after-bridge party, and the guy with the ugly hat here, the dean in favor. But they did have a party at the end. Our current project, it goes to the Delana River. Okay, and this map here is Nairobi, Mombasa, and we're in this area of the Delana River. And this is where I like modern technology. This is Google Earth showing the side of the river, of the bridge. So the river's kind of flowing southeast, but it's pretty much north-south at this point. The bridge is going to be basically east to west. Here's several photographs of the Galena River site. So you get a feel for some of the issues involved there. So as I said before, the bridge is from west to east over the river. It's going to be about 345 feet long. When we originally started helping them out, my cloud, we were thinking it'd be 420 feet. Unfortunately for us, it's not that long. But this 345 is still much longer than they've done before. Mr. Parker, who leads the group, is a builder but not an engineer, so he realized he couldn't make everything bigger and longer. So he got to know our people 2 years ago when we assisted in the final installation. So we were contacted to see if we could help them out, which we were glad to do. Some of the challenges was the increased length of our prior bridges meaning we had to change the real design. Another issue is getting materials to the site. You saw they didn't have any roads there. You know, they're going to have to cut through the bush to get roads there. There's also some field issues that we don't have in Waco, Texas, and that is you need to avoid crocodiles and hippos while you're doing things like measuring the width of the river. Here you see the party measuring the river. The one on the far end has a big stick. This person has a rifle, and this person has a rifle. And that's because of the crocodiles and hippos. So that adds to the challenge of building this bridge. So what we did is we looked at where some other pedestrian suspension bridges. It turns out I was going to Ohio on family Christmas vacation, and the longest pedestrian suspension bridge that we could find in the U.S. is in Kentucky at a place called River, Kentucky, over the Big Sandy River. This was 316 feet long, and it's being similar to what we want to build. It's taller and stiffer support for cables. They had stiffer decking, and they also had the decking in the more traditional way you think of as suspension bridge. It was horizontal. So we went to there on a couple days after Christmas. This is their bridge. It's clearly just a pedestrian bridge. The walkway is 69 inches wide over the ravine there. And what they have for decking is not what we're going to do, but it's caused us to do some thinking. They have, these are fiber-reinforced polymer tubes, basically, rectangular tubes. And then you see some steel-reinforcing bars kind of holding them together. And these were in panels about 5-6 feet long, and each one of those was bolted to one of these cross supports. So we picked up a lot of information from this bridge that played a role in what we ended up doing. Here's a sketch of the proposed bridge. A couple of issues on it is you see one side has sand and the other side has rock. So that means the support systems on these two sides are going to be a little bit different from each other. Another issue is wind. In May of this year, they measured the wind and estimated it's about 7 miles per hour from the south, which means it's blowing against the side of the bridge. We've gusted up to 12 miles per hour. They think it's higher in the June, at least that's the anecdotal evidence, and they're trying to measure that. We haven't heard back from them about that issue. It's 19. That's it. But the issue is that means we're going to need to have some cable going out at an angle from each side to keep the bridge from swaying in that direction. Again, I mentioned the soils on opposite sides are different, and also need to locate the anchoring above the estimated floodplain. And one of the things we haven't finalized on is how the end support's going to be there. One certainly possibility, at least on the sandy side, is to bury it. Bury it in the sand, concrete footing. Yeah, with the table there. That's a possibility. We haven't firmed that up yet. One of the things that we need to look at is this decking. The polymer is reinforced. The reinforced polymer is just too expensive for us to consider in this sort of environment. We found there's a wide variety of metal gratings that come in 4 foot wide sections, which is reasonable in lengths up to, I believe, about 6 feet, where we can just bolt them to the cross supports. So that's what we decided to do. The decking is going to be supported by angle met iron or steel, and every so often here, this, we're looking down, that will be supporting the grading which on which people would walk. A side view here would be, you see angles iron here and on the two sides, and the grading here. Now this kind of looks like this is solid all the way through. This is just an intermittent level points across the width of the bridge. Here's kind of the side view of this, where we have some angles here to support it. These are the cables that go up to the main suspension tube. So we would have a horizontal deck in this design rather than a sloping deck that they had done before. This might illustrate that a little better, what this might look like for the people who walk across the bridge. Still to be finished with the final design of our end supports. We made lots of progress this year, and then our students all left town for the most part, so we're going to get back together late in summer and try to put a few little finishing details on the end supports and also the anchor. So those are some final details we still need to work out. This, the estimated cost, this is not counting the end supports, but based on prices we could get within the United States, it would be about $26,000 of material cost. So this is, by their standards, a very expensive bridge. But still, very hard to achieve by U.S. standards in terms of what it can do. The goal is to install it before the rainy season in May of 2009, hopefully late next calendar year. And some of the students and I certainly are hopeful that we can be part of the final installation. I think that'd be exciting to go back and see, put into practice what it is we've been working on design. Okay. You can contact me by this email address. Bridging the Gap has that webpage, and I also have some brochures if any of you are interested in getting out more information about this group, because they're doing a very interesting work. And to me, it's exciting because as an engineer, there are lots of things I'm not suited to do in a Christian missions environment, but this is one thing I am suited to do. So with that, I'm finished my formal presentation. So,
what questions might you have?
Yes.
What instance does bridge need to use for today?
What, I didn't quite follow the question.
What maintenance does the bridge need for the use of the jet?
I knew what?
Maintenance.
Oh, maintenance, the local community, that part of the deal.
And are they trained to do that? Or?
Yeah, they will be.
Harmon revisits these bridges. He's built 45 of them.
And he periodically goes back and check. Obviously, one of the issues is cable, rust. That would be a critical safety issue, and I think one of the concerns is he had to choose between getting galvanized cable and getting cable that was certified to a certain strength. That's not a good choice to have to make, is it? For some reason in Kenya, they weren't able to get both galvanized and certified. So we went with the certified and keep an eye on the rust.
Which is a real issue, because I don't know if you noticed that bridge over Kentucky is like 10 years old, and all the handrails and stuff is all rusted. Yeah, because they build it and they just let it sit.
The bridge in Kentucky we should add costs $500,000.
Yes.
So we've got to build a cheaper bridge, a simpler to construct bridge in another location, and yet have it be safe. It's a really challenging design project. It would be much easier to build a bridge. We've got all the materials in
there.
So the more slender
pedestrian
bridges that you should have
considered,
how difficult is it to transport goods across? Are there any particular
problems to it? Well, you basically need a carrier across, for the most part. I mean, I've seen pictures of small animals, like goats, maybe. No goats?
Yeah, they have stairs to prevent animals from getting on. Because it's not designed for that, and you don't want people trying to take a cow across.
Certainly,
it's not a cow that can climb stairs.
They will. They will. They take it across the line.
When you carry stuff on their heads, on their backs, they have to end up carrying anything much that
they better build it about 300% strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's definitely part of the issue. Yes, for the question here.
Is there a similar organization for electrical installation?
I don't know. There is a generic group based in Colorado Springs called Engineering Ministries International, which takes professional engineers on projects to other countries. EMI.org would be their webpage. But they do mostly civil engineering sorts of things, but I would assume there'd be some electrical issues in some of these.
Let me make one important point. There is an organization called Bridging the Gap, if you do a Google search, and that's a different organization. Bridging the Gap Africa is the Christian organization that we're working with. The other group, I think, maybe is a humanitarian organization. I'm not sure.
Yes?
Another organization to mention is Engineers Without Borders.
Yes.
Which is not explicitly Christian, but
there's lots of Christians involved. Yeah. That's not another. I'm a member of that. That's an excellent group that promotes this all over the world. This sort of thing.
Engineers Without Borders UK, which is different from Engineers Without Borders. Again, it's another second one. EWB-UK.org.
Okay. But I certainly recommend that as a group, and you can get lots of good ideas. At Baylor, they considered starting a chapter of that. As a Christian university, they wanted to start an explicitly Christian group. But we have at Baylor as a group that we call Engineers with a Mission. And it's completely student-run, but it does very many of the same sorts of things.
Will the manufacturing of the items be done in Kenya that increase their abilities in that area? Or do you have cost of transportation?
The only one I don't think for sure of yet is grading to walk on. That may have to be brought in. Certainly the cables and everything else, the concrete can be done there.
I should clarify though that the cables are not themselves manufactured in Kenya. That's a fairly sophisticated operation. Mm-hmm. They're imported from India, but they're sold in Kenya.
Yeah.
So we're buying stuff that's locally available, and where possible, where it's locally produced. Our cable process is really sophisticated.
Well, that's why we rejected the fiber reinforced composites that they used at that Kentucky bridge. That stimulated our thinking of some sort of grid, you know, to walk on. But that clearly was something we have to import and would be very costly.
What loading do you design for? I mean, I should think in that situation you have to design for the bridge. Completely standing room only people, body to body.
I didn't do that analysis myself. I don't remember what I was designing.
It just would concern me. Yeah. The bridge, you know, the one day a whole figment decided to have a party on the bridge.
The bridge that you saw pictured there was basically designed ideally to have no more than three people on it at a given time, but it has a safety factor of three. Now, it's entirely possible if all the people in the village get drunk some night, all of us stand on the bridge, they could pull it down. But we can't make it idiot-proof at a price that we can afford. It's the village's responsibility, and they know what the village is. They absolutely understand that. Okay. It's their job to police it.
So yeah.
Well, they're free.
So that's good when there's ownership.
Any other corrections or comments?
Let me add one final concluding comment, which is interesting. The group that Bridging the Gap is helping with this bridge is a group of missionaries from Ireland who went to Africa to help people who simply did not know how to farm and get the good results that they might. And they helped them where they went from having not enough to eat to having a great abundance that they would love to sell. And the problem is they cannot get it to market, period. This bridge will put them in contact with markets, and all of a sudden now that surplus they're able to grow becomes a source of income and provides food for other people who maybe don't have it like this. So I just thought it was interesting. Here's a guy who is working with Bridging the Gap, a university in the United States that's helping with the engineering, working with missionaries from Ireland who, in a sense, started this by helping people with the farming. It's really neat the way God sometimes brings people from very diverse settings together. Okay, we have a well-deserved break now.